We're here at podtech.net at Supernova with Chris Thomas, the chief strategist at Intel and the Consumer Solutions Group. And what's your focus group you're doing with the
Generation Y?
We talked on a previous podcast about the consumer. Let's talk about corporations. Okay. Because you talked earlier in this another podcast on PodTech about velocity and speed, the speed of change. Corporations aren't known for moving fast. How is this new environment around, you know, mashups, the new architecture, the new development process, how is it changing corporations? What are they got to be thinking? What are they doing, and what are you seeing?
Corporations are living a different set of buzzwords, right? Mashups to them are software as a service. And so the label is different, but the actual technologies are pretty much the same. And so what we're seeing is a change in how corporations are being sold to, and even if you're in the tech industry, how you have to sell to succeed. Licensing models are starting to be questioned. You know, usage, you know, is being monitored, and value is being measured. And all of a sudden, things we used to buy in bulk, we're buying piecemeal, and we're breaking apart. You know, if you think about Jeffrey Moore's, you know, core context, you know, boxes, we're breaking apart what's important and what's not, and we're buying what's not and building what is. And so corporations are going through a similar change to what's happening out in the consumer, you know, Web 2.0 world. It's just labeled differently. It's called SOA, and it's, you know.
It's all these enterprise buzzwords from the vendors. But you know, you were talking about in the previous podcast about the technology change, how the models are changing on the PC, and the old software models moving to server-based, but fatter clients coming in on media. At the end of the day, a consumer is going to have some their experiences, but they don't think differently. They're at home, they're mobile, and they go to work. There's a blurring between.
We're going to see a blurring in the concept of how people work. I run an advisory board of Generation Yers, and Generation Y are the 10 to 25 year olds. Yeah, so it's the new entrance into our world, and these guys are at the top end of this, working for some of the premier companies. But we're asking them what they're doing differently and how they work differently. And they think very differently from the old business. And they actually have a work and a home difference that they believe will blur. But email at home is online, and it, because they want to share it between different devices from different places. The Google spreadsheet that just came out, they like it because it's collaborative. Whereas at the office, they don't want that collaboration because, you know, it's not secure, and they're using the traditional office tools, and they're using the Microsoft Outlook type emails because they've got the offline capability and the storage capabilities. And so there's the current generation that's mashing together these two communities is using both sets of tools. And what I'm watching as you talk to them is they're learning how to make them work together. And then they're picking and choosing the best of both.
So as a corporation, I mean, they have IT departments, they have CIOs, and we do a lot of podcasts with corporations, CIOs and whatnot, but they all talk about the same thing. Oh, we're here to support the business objectives. So you got business objectives, but you also got the employees who are actually part of the work production model.
Right.
You know, what is the technical issues? Are there any massive changes coming along there that you see?
I actually see a wave of forward-looking companies actually starting to adopt the newer technologies. You know, things like wikis and blogs are starting to permeate the corporation. And the idea of what is a collaborative work environment is under assault right now in a positive way. You know, yep. It's not just net meeting anymore, and it's not just somebody's, you know, e-room login or something, which is...
It's an unstructured environment.
It's an unstructured, changed environment. Yeah. And now we're watching a concept of let me create the ability to have a let me create structure so that unstructure can happen. Give you an example is the idea of creating communities. You know, as a big corporation, we need our developer community, our customer community, learning from us, whether it's to get the patches out or get the software to them to talk to
them
about.
They're in the ecosystem.
They're an ecosystem. Yeah. Well, the community of the past was basically, before website, a bulletin board, now website. Now we're seeing the information we post being, you know, fanned out downstream into a broader community of our users and people helping each other. And that change is fairly dramatic in how fast do people get information, what is the right way, or how can somebody share something that a corporation may not be able to provide because of
these are forces, though, that are uncontrollable. As they say, the genie's out of the bottle. This word-of-mouth networks, this fan-out or cascade distribution of information, this velocity. I mean, no one's made this. This is fact. This is what's going on today.
It's happening.
This is a tough one because corporations have very structured technology systems, and not Gingron, who is one of the chief technology officers at IBM here in San Jose, and I had a podcast and we talked about how, you know, out in the net with Google and Yahoo, and you have unstructured environments, so it's a clean slate almost from a development perspective, so a little bit easier. So they're making an unstructured environment structured.
Right.
But for a corporation, they got silos of structure. So is it a matter of kill the old to bring in the new, or is there a roadmap? Well, is there thoughts?
There's a wonderful, you know, multi-year evolution going on right now to what's called services-oriented architecture. And if you think about what that label is to a CIO, it's how do I unstructure my structure? How do I open up what I have? And I have to do it safely. And so then you see who's playing in that market are the traditional vendors, the IBMs, the SAPs, the Oracles, the BEAs of the world are kind of the engine of that unstructuring. Well, let's talk about what that unstructure looks like on the other side. Take somebody like an SAP. Their web interface has been their primary interface up until recently. Now you're hearing things called thick client, smart client. You're hearing, you know, Mendocino.
And SAP is actually deconstructing their massive, huge software base
and breaking up a thing called NetWeaver, which is their SOA platform.
Yeah, it's very smart.
And so if you take that thought process, which is happening across the other vendors too.
So the corporations on that SAP point, what that means for them is they can buy a la carte. They don't have to buy the big fat package.
Well, they can. It's the opposite for the corporation. The corporation has a big fat package to manage its business, and they can distribute and enable use of that package in a la carte.
Okay, got it.
And so they're in the opposite vector here, but still need it. You know, some of that can become buy a la carte. You could go off and buy your ERP from Salesforce.com instead of a total suite and that type of thing. But other things you want to manage, but what's happening is you want to manage it out to this broader audience now. And so you're opening it up. And that broader audience can now consume one piece of information, like inventory. How could you get inventory out of SAP to 100,000 people before? It wasn't possible.
It's a nightmare.
Now with a web service,
you have to hire a bunch of programmers to do that, and
somebody supporting it. Now you've got little, you know, widgets coming into play that allow you to ask for that piece of information, turn it into an RSS feed, create it as an email, put it into a web service call, and all of a sudden somebody's consuming one piece of knowledge out of an entire suite of system that most of it they don't need.
You talked about how when Microsoft integrated the TCP/IP elements into their stack and how that kind of just killed the NOS market in local area network parlance. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of commoditization. Talk about how networking technologies have become commoditized. I talk to a lot of IT and vendors in the corporate space, and they talk about application aware. So traditionally what's been networking oriented stuff like QoS and all that good stuff and, you know, routing type stuff. Now people are saying, I want application acceleration. Is that the new transport model? What's this application discussion about these days?
Well, there's the application network type of discussion, right? Which is actually saying, I want to shield you from all this complexity of moving things around or replicating or creating a message bus architecture and all these things that, if you think about these, you know, small core group of corporate architects knew all about, and as soon as you left the holy group, nobody knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
What we're now doing with these new technologies is we're actually shielding the average developer and user from having to figure out what is an enterprise services bus. How would that function? And we're providing them an interface that says, here's your on-ramp. And the rest of it starts to function, whether it's storage migration or virtualization or some type of SOAP-based message structure. The initial user doesn't care anymore. Now, you're talking about the cutting edge right now. You know, these aren't real in the sense of easily purchasable and deployable yet.
They're developing.
But they're developing. And what they're developing is they're masking And in terms like virtualization come into play here. They're masking what we used to consider the computer. And they're saying, I just want to talk to the computer. I want to talk to storage. I want to talk to a network. I want to talk to compute base and do my thing. I don't care which one. I don't care where it is anymore. And the infrastructure below it starts evolving into a utility, into an infrastructure of service for that user. So somebody trying to deploy something real time isn't going through these release and iteration cycles and figuring out what server they're going to buy and plug in. At this point, they're moving in a much more dynamic environment.
And it's a little simpler to deploy. We're here with Chris Thomas with Intel, who's a strategist and solutions and customers and in the market. Great future views on things. Let's talk about corporations from a different perspective. We talked in another podcast about media and how things are out there. People are participatory. People are mixing and YouTube, et cetera. Corporations still need to talk and include customers into their communications.
Yes.
Email marketing, some people are saying it's dead. You got filters and putting it in there. And Microsoft has this Channel 9, which Robert Scoble's now with PodTech, who helped architect that. Corporations can now go direct with media. How are corporations looking at interacting with users? Any position on that? And you're involved in media, so I want to get your opinion.
I see corporations kind of having two new camps. The old camp, which is how do I talk through my normal PR channel? How do I put things out on the, on the wire or create a common message? It's not going away. It's still there, and there's still an art to working in that camp. And then there's the new camp, which is how do I use these new tools? And some corporations are using them very well, and others are just starting, to figure out that they put a capability out on a blog, and it shows up on everybody's blog, right? Or the kid shows up on an RSS feed, or it shows up on somebody's discussion board. And is that good or bad? Well, it depends on how you're choosing to use that environment. If you actually start to think about it as your community, and you provide it the right information, it can work for you. And so in our Generation Y advisory team, they were saying, the worst thing a corporation can do is start something with no content. Bring something real.
Real, not overproduced.
Not overproduced, but bring us something real, bring us the specs, tell us what it is, and we, the community, will do the work with you and for you about what we're doing with it.
I mean, people just love to be involved in groups. I mean, being a loner, most human beings aren't loners. People like to interact.
But they don't like logging into a corporate site. They don't like putting their user ID and password in. They like their anonymity. They like to create some type of avatar or something.
Well, having that option, flexibility to be stealth. But in general, most people want to have that freedom. They don't want to be locked in.
They don't want to be locked in. And then at times they want something else, which is new in this community. They want to be the highlighted hero. So they like to be acknowledged out there as the one that did something special with some new technology or made something exciting that hadn't happened before. So there is that, individualized, I've done something valuable in this market. And we're starting to see, if you think Linus Torvald is one of the first ones, we're starting to see these new icons in the market of people that did something that people know. And so the community does like to be acknowledged for their work.
And that's a production model too. A lot of the community stuff that's really cutting edge and or real today is really generated off open source software development principles. If you think about it, you look at it that way?
I like to not use the word open source, because there's a whole bunch of licensing and legal issues, but it's the community around open source.
It's dual license, not GPL.
if you look at the reality of some of these, the new mashup environment, for instance, they're not open source APIs, they're freely licensed APIs.
Yeah.
You don't get the right to change Google's code.
It's open source.
It's openly usable.
Yes.
And freely distributable. And so the change is. And so I don't like to use the word open source because it dictates you can change my code and it's not mine anymore in my brain. Whereas on the other hand, that open use model and shareable, mashupable, consumable model is exciting. And so we're evolving
that
through.
That highlights the dynamic you mentioned about sharing.
Right.
Because what it does is accelerate someone's creativity It's a platform.
Right.
It's a development platform.
And I'm not saying I'm against open source. I just want we're
watching.
There's
a distinction between source code and open.
Well, it's a Darwinistic world right now. So you know, there's labels that haven't solidified into it's the world of sharing. And so I can share what's mine and still consider it mine, is digital rights management and copyrights and license law, and still, you know, be in this community. And so we're watching that, you know, intersection of somewhat the cowboy developer world with the legal corporate world. And as they collide, what used to be no, you can't, the legal people are now figuring out ways that you can.
Yeah.
And so the attitude in our corporate environment is how do we open ourselves up for this environment now versus how do we lock them out or lock ourselves down and control?
So, advice to customers, if you had to talk to a large corporation about looking at how they market to users in the new way, the Gen Ys and the Y generations and whoever, what should they be thinking and what approaches should they take? In the new way, not the old way.
I would probably say the aha that I got recently was a simple comment from one of our other partners on a phone where we were talking about going to an event. And my statement to this marketing professional was, these people don't go to events. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, they're not senior enough yet to be at the event. Yet they're the ones that are driving the next round. They're out online in the online community. Their manager's going to the event. And the light bulb went on. It's like, how do you market in a new way? Because the traditional way of people going to the hot event and the like, yes, there are events downstream, but for the most part, this is becoming an online and near real-time, you know, instant message, you know, get on my blog, talk to me type environment at the consumption level in a corporation or not of that new generation of users.
They got to put content out there. You mentioned it earlier.
They got to put content out there. Got to expect it to be moved around and changed and mashed up into other things. They've got to bring their people forward. One of the things that I've also heard, which wouldn't be shocking but is interesting, is these younger people are saying, I want to talk to or I want to know a real person. Now, talk to doesn't have to be a voice.
It could be an interaction online.
It can be an online instant message.
With an
it
avatar,
can be a poster,
Second Life. It could be anything.
It could be anything. But it's saying, I'm not happy with static content. If you post something and you don't put a human that's smart enough to talk to me about it.
I love that. I'm not happy with static content. Yeah. Cheers.
You know, if you don't have a person there who's smart enough to talk to me about it in multiple passages, I'm not... I'll stop looking at that.
Yeah, this is really, that's a commercial for PodTech, everything that we do. But in what you just said, if you don't provide the content in the format that I want to consume it in, you're irrelevant to me.
Exactly.
That's what we're hearing. I mean, this is just like the websites. Remember when the web hit the scene? It's like, you know, not everyone was jumping on board with the website, but, you know, fast forward 3 years later, if a company didn't have a website, they were considered irrelevant.
Exactly.
I mean, well, what? There was no information? I can't find it? What? You know, and so now the same thing. That's what you're saying.
We're going to the same thing, but the consumption models aren't proven yet.
In other words, multi-format.
They're multi-format. We're going to end up with 5 or 6 of them. None of them are going to be the wrong way. They're all going to be the right way.
There's interplay between them.
There's interplay.
Yeah.
And so if somebody says, well, let's do one of these. Let's do a blog. Well, you know,
It's not the silver bullet.
It's not the silver bullet. It's one of many delivery vehicles. So if I can podcast, if I can blog, if I can wiki, if I can create RSS feeds, if I can do some type of alert or event system to you, the answer is yes.
These are great tools.
And they're all tools.
They're tools for interacting and pushing out information and building community.
Yeah. But one of the exciting things that this generation's done is it's, you know, the website kind of hid people. You know, because the HTML environment was static, that person in the back room was developing content to post.
Absolutely.
This new world is the content's being developed to answer a question, to be engaged. And so we're bringing that human factor back in, but scaling it.
That's a very key point. I mean, one of the things that we talk about at PodTech is that HTTP and the Web 1.0 brought access to information, massive scale. with RSS, it's access to relationships, right. People, social. It's very social.
And that actually changes, you know, if you think about why Intel's in this, right? We sell, you know, processors into computers and mobile environments and the like. And interestingly enough, if you think about a browser as your only user interface, you've got a very, you know, low-powered, you know, low-value device. If you now take that browser and add things like feeds and web services and mashups and rich client, you know, interfaces and scripting environments, all of a sudden that machine that you're carrying with you using or is sitting at your home or the server you're using to aggregate things is functioning for you. And it's doing lots of things at the same time.
It's the classic agent everyone used to think about.
People called it an agent, but nobody wanted to buy your agent. Now they're just putting your agents together for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's drawing a lot of new compute capabilities into the market. It's fueling the demand for our next generation technologies.
It's really an evolution in the online generation. I mean, really, it's still young. But it's just an evolution. It's a complete integrated fabric now of lives. I mean, digital lifestyle is encompassing everyone's life.
Digital lifestyle thing's interesting because in our little advisory board the other day, these sub-25-year-olds said that social networking is old and boring. Now, here's a phase that some of us haven't even got on board with yet. And they've actually identified it as, well, it's a tool. We'll use it. But it's no longer the in thing. It's just, you know, something we have available to us. So, you know, we're watching evolutions of whole industries happen in 1 and 2 year or less life cycles and institutionalizing. They don't go away, but the next hot thing is being developed right in front of our eyes.
The next hot thing is being developed in front of our eyes, whether it's podcasting, video blogging, protocols, new stuff. Great change. Chris, thanks so much for the podcast.